It is an honor to be here on this day, the Lord's Day, to be here in the church. First time that we are here in Newcastle with my wife, but this is the family of the Lord, so it feels really good to be here with you, with your family, Pastor. Thank you. So today, please open your Bibles in Psalm 27. I was talking with Pastor Dan that this is my second time that I preach in English. So it's good, yeah. Because as he prays, it's not about our language, it's about God's word. It's about his gospel. It's not about us, it's about Christ. So today I want to share with you a sermon about the best of a troubled day in the Christian life, and that is a real communion with God. Please go with me and read verse 5. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. So the best of a troubled day in a Christian life, have communion with God. So we live in days where things are not going really well. It's just when we read the news and we realize that we live in a not fearing God society, the news about Ireland and the new politics about abortion and everything, it's really bad. We can see a lot of days of trouble around us. So the question is, who wants to have bad days here? Please raise your hand. Nobody, right? A bad day, a trouble day. Who wants to have that kind of day? A black day? As the Puritan called the black providence of God. But actually, who wants to have this day of trouble, of bad day? Nobody. But actually, who has experienced days of trouble here? Everyone, right? That's good. Oh, well, it's not so good. But and a final question. Who is experiencing it now, in this hour, in this minute, days of trouble? Who is thinking here that his enemies, as we read, are eating his flesh, your flesh, our flesh? Enemies like sin, anxiety, worries, problems, and so on. It's easy for us to have communion with God when everything is okay. When homework is done, it's ready. When the bills are already paid, when the house is clean, when everything is perfect, now I'm going to have communion with God. But what about the bad days? The days of trouble, like David said here. So I want to focus on that, in the days of trouble. And why I want to do that? Because every day is a day of trouble. Because every day we are fighting against some enemies. Enemies like Satan, the war, or our own flesh. So today I want to share with you the next 3 points. The first one is, in the day of trouble, fear not, but trust in God. The second point is the fruit of trusting in God in the day of trouble. And that is communion with God, an intimate communion with God. And the third point is Christ, the fountain and end of communion with God. So the first point, in the day of trouble, fear not, but trust in God. Let's read the three verses of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid when evil doers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes? It is they who stumble and fall, not me. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. In these verses, we can notice the reaction of a man who has two persons in front of him, God and an enemy or enemies. But first, he described God, who God is for him. And this is very important. He describes God with his personal name. Here in our translation said, the Lord. But the word here is Yahweh, the personal name of God. So he is the immutable and almighty God who is faithful to his covenant of grace. And he describes God as his light, his salvation, and the stronghold of his life. And after doing this, he asks himself, whom shall I fear? Of whom shall be afraid? Before whom shall I fear and tremble? Before whom we are fearing and tremble now? So the question for us today is, before whom are we fearing and trembling? Possible candidates for David were his enemies, as he described here. But he is describing a reaction that all human beings feel before an enemy. Fear. If you were alone in the midst of a battlefield, and you have an entire army in front of you, what will be your reaction? No, everything is okay, don't worry. It's just an army. No, it's fear, right? Fear and tremble. David describes his enemies and adversaries and foes, an army of them. But he says, should I fear them? By no means. No. But why? On the other hand, us here, but why do we fear our enemies? But who are our enemies? The day after tomorrow? Tomorrow? The final exams or the church? I don't know. Brothers? The future? Actual sins in our life? That sin that is always in front of us like an army. And we know that we fall into that sin every week or every day. Why are we fearing to an army of temptation? Who are your enemies? Who are our enemies? As we said, Satan, the world, and the flesh. But we know that they are already defeated. But we continue to fear them. We know that they are already defeated, not by us, but by God. But why we remain terrified of them? Why? This can be for two reasons. The first one is because we know these things, but we know just in theory. We know everything about the gospel. We know everything about the good news. We know everything that God is the Almighty God, our defender. But just in theory, just there in the board of the classroom of Bible study, or in our case, in the seminary, I don't know. We can talk here David said, refers to God as his life, his salvation. We know in theory, but not in practice. I am a biologist, so I work on cancer research in Chile. So for us, it was very important that it's not about the theory. It's about the reality there. So we can talk about cancer and everything, but it's not just about talk about cancer. Talk about some medicines for cancer, no. It's about the reality. So the same here with the gospel. We know in theory, but do you know this good news in your life, in your heart? Have you tasted this, the grace of God? We know in theory, but not in practice. We know the remedy, but we don't use the remedy. We have here, but we don't use it. We know the light, but about a light that is not ours. We know about salvation, but sometimes, but it's not our salvation. We can talk and preach about salvation, but sadly about a salvation that it's not ours. And I think that this is one of the reasons that it's sometimes it's hard for us to preach the gospel to our neighbors. Because maybe we don't know the gospel. It doesn't matter if you grew up here in the church. Do you know the gospel? Do you know the good news in your heart? Or it is just a nice story that you hear every Sunday. We can preach on the light, but only as something that we read in the dictionary and not as something that we have seen and felt. So the second thing is a product of the first. Because we don't know God, we forgot to exalt God as God. In this psalm, David, he's not referring first to his enemies. He said, the Lord is my light, the Lord, first the Lord. So we forgot to exalt God. We forgot who is God because we know things, but just in an intellectual way. But in the psalmist, here is totally different. He talks about light, but a light that is his light. He talks about salvation, but a salvation that is his salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. He's not saying just the Lord is light and the Lord is salvation. No, he's my salvation. This is something real in my life. And it doesn't matter if there is an army in front of me. The Lord is my salvation. He knows this in a real way. So how terrible is for a soul that talks about salvation that he does not possess it? Sadly, the same soul will consider any army as something greater and bigger than God. But happy the soul that knows that his God has defeated all their enemies. Happy the soul that knows and says here with the psalmist, when evil doers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. It is they who stumble and fall. So in the midst of enemies and troubles, David decides to fear not them, but to trust in God. He trusts God not because of the circumstances, not because of more or less enemies, but because of who God is. This clearly teaches us that we do not base our trust in circumstances, nor in our victories or defeats over sin, but in who God is, in that God is our light, salvation, and a stronghold. So the call for today is, Trust in God. Come to God with your enemies on your back. Come to God with your sins. Do not try to remove them in your own strength to come to God. Come to God. Trust in the omnipotent God, and you will see how your enemies and oppressors stumble and fall. Come to God. Trust in the omnipotent God, and you will see how your sins fall and those who condemn you stumble and fall. Not because of what you have done, but because of who God is. The Lord is. The Lord is my light and my salvation. He is Yahweh. So to trust in God means to declare to be a poor person in spirit, to long for and hold on to the best treasure, God Himself. Why fear if God is God? Why fear if God is our God? Why fear if God is our light, our salvation, and our stronghold? So in the day of trouble, fear not, but trust in God. Now the second point is the fruit of trusting in God. Because sometimes it's easy to say, don't worry, brother, just trust in the Lord. But it's not about that. It's not just about a nice speeching. No. This is something real. So the fruit of having of a confidence on God is this: a communion with God. So please read with me verse 4 to 5. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I might may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. So in these verses, we can see that the confidence in God, a rest in God, produce an active fruit, and this is communion with God. How does he make know that he has trust God? Because the fruit of trusting in God, it is not something passive, no, but it's something totally active. One thing have I asked of the Lord. What's the meaning of this? The meaning of this is, one thing have I desired or longed for. It's a desire. He has these enemies in front of him, but he has only one desire, and he's longing for something. But this implies all his faculties, his mind, his affections, and his will, everything. As someone who is very thirsty, and all that he wants is water. What does he want here? What does he desire, David, when he said, one thing have I desire? That God remove his enemies? That God remove his fears? No. We can see David in other psalms praying for the destruction of his enemies. But here he wants something more important. His eyes are not fixed on his fears, but on something bigger. It is something that he desires with all his strength, and that therefore he not only longs for it, but also he seeks for it. The idea here is to seek is in a very intensive way. He not only desires this, but he works for this. But for what? We don't know. Just hold on. So, there's not passivity here. Yes, when we trust on the Lord, it is at rest on the Lord. But after that, there's an activity now. There can be no passivity before the only thing that he yearns and seeks. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after. He asks, he desires, and then seeks this. He has only one heart. Therefore, he has only one desire, which is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What's the connection between enemies, troubles, fear, and then to be in the house of the Lord? Because yes, he has enemies, but he's not worried about them. He has only one heart. Therefore, he has only one desire. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That I might may dwell. The meaning of this is to live or to stay in a place. I want to live there. I want to stay there. Yes, I am on the battlefield right now. We are on the battlefield. But our place is not that battlefield to have our eyes fixed upon our enemies. Our enemies, not. Our place is the house of the Lord. He yearns for that. He desires this. In the day of trouble, he's saying, I want to stay in the house of the Lord. I want to live there. He desires this, to live in the house of the Lord. For David, there's nothing better. There's no better place than the place of God's holy presence. The house of the Lord, a house. The place where we can rest, enjoy, and have an intimate communion with everyone who are living in that house. It's so good to be at home. It's so good to be with our family in the house. Can you imagine the house of the Lord? As we said, the place where we can rest, enjoy, and have communion. Why does he ask this? Why must we desire this? Because many times our hearts are not living in the house of the Lord. Many times our heart are living in sin and anxiety or idols. We make a house based on the problems and circumstances of life, and we live with them. We build a house with all these troubles, with all these enemies, and we live in that kind of house. And we invite others to live in that kind of house. So the question is, where is your heart resting on? What is the place that your heart yearns for it? What are you seeking for? What is your desire? Do you want to be here today? Do you really want to pray? Do you love to have communion with God, or do we love to have communion with those terrible and secret sins in our life? Our hearts are seeking this rest and delight, but sadly we think that we can find those things in things that we already have or that we don't have. We think that we can find happiness when we stop being defeated by our enemies. But the main reason of why David wants to dwell in the house of the Lord is because he knows that he belongs there. Not because of he went to God first, but because God came to him. That's the gospel. Because God came to us, I want to stay with God. I want to be with God in His house, to do well in His house. So that's the meaning of the house of the Lord, or the tent, or the tabernacle. He's referring to that, to the tabernacle. The tabernacle is the place where God dwells. That is the place where God wants to have an intimate communion with His people. Here we can see God's grace. That God is living in a tent. The same place that everyone is living. The same structure, a tent. So the tabernacle, the house of the Lord, was designed by God to show them that He wants to have communion with His people, an intimate, warm heart communion with His people. Our God is not like the false God. He wants to have communion with us, a real communion. So David wants to live in the house of the Lord for the great reason that warms his heart, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. That's the reason that he wants to be there in the house of the Lord. David wants to behold the beauty of the Lord. What is the beauty of the Lord? I don't have words to describe the beauty of the Lord. But what is beauty? Maybe we can define beauty as something perfect, which produces delight in all senses when we contemplate it. Oh, this is beauty. Your eyes are fixing on that. Your tongue, all your senses are, oh, this is beauty. To behold the beauty of the Lord. Can you think about it in a second? That's the reason of why he wants to inquire in his temple. Inquires means an examination, a reflective examination. Therefore, it demands attention, time, and all the faculties of the man, as we said, mind, heart, strength, will. It's not something momentaneous. Oh, the beauty of the Lord. Oh, nice. What are we going to eat now? And the barbecue, where is? Oh, the bills. No. To inquire, to meditate. To meditate on the beauty of the Lord. That's the reason that of why David wants to stay there. So why we are here today, when we sing hymns or psalms? Why do you pray in your secret place? Yes, it's fine just to pray, God, defeat my enemies, my sin. I am struggling with this. Lord, I need your strength. Yeah, that's good. It's perfect. 10 points for that. But are we praying to contemplate the beauty, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to worship Him because of who God is? So we cannot forget the meaning of the tabernacle. In the tabernacle, there are two main reasons for this. One, to know about your salvation. When the church in the Old Testament, when the people of the church in the Old Testament who went to the tabernacle, he can experience the salvation that another is dying in his place. So the first point of this tabernacle is salvation, but the second point is worship. To worship the Lord. To behold the beauty of the Lord. So when we are praying, it is your heart on what your lips cry out? Where is your heart when you are singing now, when we are praying in our secret place? Is your heart connected with your lips, or your lips are over there and your heart, it's in another place? So salvation and worship. He understands the beauty of the Lord and responds to it, receiving the beauty of a free grace salvation and at the same time worshiping God. He understands that in the tabernacle others die in his place. He understands that in a simple tent the Lord comes to dwell with him. But then he said, in this activity of communion with God, David said, "For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock." So the Lord hides him in his shelter or again in his house. But when? In the day of trouble. So the best thing in a day of trouble is that the Lord comes to hide us in his shelter. For the Christian, this is the best thing that can happen in a bad day, in the day of trouble. Not when everything is okay, everything is perfect. No, in the midst of anxieties, when you don't know what to do now, what comes next, it's in that moment that we must have communion with God, because God is with us. So the Lord is teaching us to know two things. The first one is, he has defeated all our enemies. And the second is, he takes his sons and daughters to hide them in his tabernacle. Can you realize that now, we are in the house of the Lord? This is God's answer to David's desire. So what's your desire? Do you have fear of something? Do not be afraid of that. The victory belongs to the Lord. Now put your confidence on the Lord. Rest on the Lord. And this confidence will lead you to have a desire and to love the Lord. And in the day of trouble, the Lord will hide you in his house. Now, I'm okay with time. Yeah? Thank you. Now we must understand that in the tabernacle, there was a division between the holy place and the most holy place. And only once a year, and only the high priest could enter into that holy place. The most intimate communion with God happened in that place, the most holy place. Only one person, once a year. Have this in your mind now. But it was reserved only to the high priest, and not to any king as David. But this is very important, my brothers. But David desires to have an intimate communion with God, and the Lord concedes his desires on verse 5. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. And now, I'm sorry, brothers, but I think that the King James Version in this verse have a better translation. If we study this in the original. So, the meaning is this. For in a time of trouble, he will shide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. In the secret of his tabernacle. My dear brothers, what is this secret of this tabernacle? What is that place? Well, the secret of his tabernacle was the most holy place. It is in that place where the Lord will hide David. But David, he's a king. He's not a high priest. So this leads us to the final point and the third point. Because how can this happen if David is a king? is because this story is not about David. It's not about us. And this is not about our troubles or problems or anxieties or whatever. So this is not a sermon about five steps when you have a bad day. No, this is not about, no. This is about Christ. The main point of this psalm is Christ. So the final point to finish this sermon is Christ, the fountain and end of communion with God. David wants to go to the house of the Lord to contemplate the beauty of the Lord. And the beauty of the Lord is his glory. And where can we see the glory of God? We can see the glory of God in his Son, Christ. So the creation tells us about the glory of God, but the creation is not God. So think in a moment in the most beautiful landscape. I don't know, maybe the north of Scotland or here. It's a beautiful country, First time from Edinburgh here to Newcastle is beautiful by train, you know. So think about this. Think in the universe. Think in the most beautiful landscape. Why is so beautiful? Why? Just to teach us that the creation's beauty is nothing compared with the Creator's beauty. The beautiful sunset there in the north of Scotland, or I don't know, was created to show us that its beauty, it's absolutely nothing compared with Christ, the Son of Righteousness. The beauty of this big universe is really small compared with the beauty of the triune God. So if you think why the universe is so beautiful or the creation is so beautiful, just to teach us, just to show us that it's nothing, nothing compared with the beauty of the Creator. And now think the beauty not only of the Creator, but of the Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's the reason that David wants to go and stay and live in the house of the Lord, to behold, to contemplate the beauty of the Lord. David went to the tabernacle, but he didn't enter into the most holy place. But we can now. We have a free access to the most holy place because Christ, our high priest and king, he opened the access to the Father. Jesus Christ is the real tabernacle at the same time. He took a human nature to live for us and dwell among us. He is God with us. He is Emmanuel. Can we understand this? God with us. Right now, here, his holy presence is here. God with us to defeat our enemies. God with us to save us. He is the perfect sacrifice offered in the tabernacle for us. Everything points to Christ. The tabernacle, the sacrifice, the high priest, the most holy place. Everything points to Christ. So that's the reason that David wants to stay there. And that's the reason that we must desire to stay and have communion with God. God with us to dwell among us. God with us to lead us to the secret place of his tabernacle. That is to enjoy an intimate communion with the triune God through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Son united to Christ. John 17:24, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. To see my glory. Have you seen Christ's glory? It's your desire, the glory of Christ. Because if the glory of Christ is not your desire today, it cannot be your desire for eternity. If you are not seeking, if you are not yearning for the glory of Christ to worship the triune God, why do you want to go to heaven? If for us to have communion with God, it is not an important deal, it doesn't matter. Why we are here? We must behold the beauty of God in His Son here. We must glorify and enjoy God forever, but here. But why? Because living on this way will prepare us for death. Our goal is to see God and to enjoy Him forever. And that is, my brother, as we call in theology, the beatific vision. To see God. That your eyes see the eyes of Christ, the God-man. We see now the glory of Christ, but by faith. But one day, oh, this is so glorious, my brothers. You will see Christ, the God-man. So that's the reason that David wants to be in the house of the Lord. So the call for today is, are we living in the midst of troubles, anxieties, and sins? But do we have a desire to be in the temple of God, to see the beauty of God? Are we having an intimate communion? Just give me 2 minutes. But please go with me to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2. And now just think about this. The most beautiful person in the universe, the Son of God, the Blessed One, chapter 53, verse 2, He had no form or majesty that we should look at Him, and no beauty that we should desire Him. Why? Why the most beautiful person in the universe here, he's described as had no beauty, no form or majesty. You know why? Because He took your sin. He was made sin for us. Dear brothers and sisters, praise the Lord, because one day He took all your sins and He nailed on the cross of Calvary. And there was no beauty on Him because your sins, my sins, was upon Him on the cross. The Blessed One was made a curse for us. The most beautiful person in the whole universe was there dying for you, dying for our indifference, for our lack of communion with Him, and for every sin. Now, there is a free grace for us. So come to Christ. Come to Christ with all your sins right now, and just have only this desire to behold the beauty of the Lord. Let's pray.